Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And we say hello to our good friend Jared Stillman on the program, who joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I am super. I am just beside myself excited for the conclusion of the Titans general manager search.
Well, that makes two of us. I'm very much ready for that process to be over with. So speaking of that, you spent a lot of time yesterday talking about, you know, the Titans, the Packer way, and trying to, you know, model themselves after the Packers. I think a lot of people just assume that John Eric Sullivan is going to be the one that ends up with the job here. And one of the things you brought up, which I think is a really good point, like the Packers don't have an owner. And that's a huge difference between the Packers and the Titans and most teams in the NFL, is the owner that sometimes gets in the way. I would also say, like, a big part of the Packer way has been Hall of Fame quarterback play, which is very difficult to come by. So if that's what the Titans are trying to do, they're trying to build this team the way that the Green Bay Packers have built their franchise over the last 20, 30 years. Is that the right way? Can they do that? How realistic is it? How do you view that if you're a Titans fan and you hear that from the Titans?
I'm going to sound like Joe Rexroad with my answer here. Can they do that? I mean, I guess they can do that. Are they going to do it? Would I have any faith that they would do it? No.
Nice.
But, I mean, again, the hallmark of the Packer way. You know, I think the Packers and the Steelers have, like, their own brands that they're so proud of that maybe in the case of the Steelers, and I'm not one of these people that thinks that Tomlin has to go, but the Steelers are not going to fire Mike Tomlin. They're going to double down on Tomlin because their brand is, we never fire coaches. Like, they are prideful in what they think their brand is. Again, we never fire coaches. I think that's why Green Bay rushed to give Jordan Love the bag, was because they're prideful in our bread and butter is developing and using the quarterback to transition from one great quarterback to the next quarterback. That's our brand. And so in order to do that, if you were the Titans, you'd have to draft a quarterback, sit him on the bench for 3 years, and then put him out there. Well, considering that over the last 3 years, Amy Adams Strunk has gone from wanting to be the Patriots to wanting to be the 49ers to wanting to be the Lions to now wanting to be the Packers, it's hard for me to envision Amy Adams Strunk saying, yeah, let's trade back into the first round, or let's trade back up into the first round. Let's draft Jalen Milroe with the 28th pick. Let's sit Jalen Milroe on the bench for 3 years and play Daniel Jones, and then let's turn it over to Jalen Milroe to be our Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, this is not going to happen. She's not going to have the patience for that. And I think Brinker's full of hot air anyways. I wouldn't believe a word that that man says after just what it's looked like over the last year with him as Rand's lieutenant and then, I guess, supervisor, and then what kind of feels like professional executioner. So, with all that being said, long story short, can they? I mean, I guess. Will they? No.
You should have answered it like Jared Stillman. Now, I told you guys, when Brinker came, it was all against Aaron Rodgers. Not Jared. And now they're going to get Rodgers. I was right all along. That's all you had to do. Is that one of your takes? Was that one of your segments yesterday? It should have been if it wasn't.
You sound very upset about the fact that I won another week of Jared versus Joe. I think that's like four in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it is a streak he's building here.
How could you not win, Jared? When Caroline doesn't ding you for takes like, yeah, Vrabel, he doesn't get credit for Arthur Smith. It was just to spite Matt LaFleur. And if you don't
because
get
that's what
for
I
that
believe,
take,
and that's what she believes too. Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. I cannot condemn Caroline to your way of thinking, because that's just so dumb. And but she didn't ding you for it, so really, like, you should win every week.
Joe, let's get to the Titans. It's just so dumb.
Well, that is true. But let me get to a serious question on this Packer way, because yes, that's all I think of too, is the long-term quarterback thing. But if all of this, I mean, basically the guts of what they've been doing is carrying over, aren't they still doing the 49er way, kind of?
Well, I actually think, and I had a conversation over the weekend in which it sounds more like they're trying to do the old Atlanta way, the way that Arthur Blank gave up on after last year, you know, where Rich McKay was above Thomas Dimitrov and Dan Quinn, or Rich McKay was above Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith. And remember, this time last year, there was a lot of speculation that Bill Belichick was going to be the next coach of the Falcons, but that Rich McKay, who was the president of the team, Rich McKay was not interested in working with Bill Belichick, and the resolution was, okay, we won't hire Belichick, but now Rich McKay runs the soccer team, and Rich McKay's completely out of the Falcons' offices. So it sounds like that's the model they're trying to go to with Chad Brinker, who doesn't necessarily have Rich McKay's qualifications. You know, he wasn't the general manager of a Super Bowl winner, with Chad Brinker playing the role of Rich McKay. So I guess they're now also trying the Falcon way. And I tell you, we just keep running through things, and we want to be this, we want to be that. And, again, not exactly sure that the Falcon way is the most popular model to emulate, but, hey, we'll try anything around here, Joe.
Hey, whatever.
How about the Lion way? Hey, Lion way? So.
They tried that. That's collaboration.
Yeah.
They're done with that.
Didn't last very long. Okay. Did not. So on the Aaron Rodgers front, we've had a lot of conversations about the veteran QB. Do you feel like Rodgers is the best option? And I've heard you and TD talk about Travis Hunter. We're going to get into that a little bit later this hour. Do you view Travis Hunter as more of an offensive guy coming into the draft? Is that how you'd view him if you were the Titans?
Yes, I mean, I think that Travis Hunter might be a better corner than he is a receiver, but I don't – corners don't do it for me. I think, you know, if you're going to have a good defense, you're going to get to the quarterback. So, I mean, I'm not worried about, you know, well, he could be a really great corner and whatever. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good receiver, probably, you know, an elite receiver, probably not in the Chase and Jefferson range, but probably like one step below that, so kind of the AJ range. I think that's what Travis Hunter probably is going to be, and I value that more than I value the best corner in the history of the NFL, so that's why really I dumb. Would play him at wide receiver. I know you think that, Joe. Boy, the Titans, they really loaded up on corners this offseason. How'd it work out for them? But again, I go back to, on the Rodgers front, I think to myself, like, you know, I think Aaron wants to play this upcoming season, and the only reason that it came out before Week 17 that sources close to Rodgers were talking about this maybe being the end was because I think Aaron was wanting to not be humiliated if nobody in the league wanted him. The Steelers came out yesterday and said, we are not interested in Aaron Rodgers. So there may not be a place anywhere else for Aaron Rodgers. And again, this is not a patient ownership. This is not a patient fan base. And I'm just going to say this. You thought things were ugly this year when they didn't go right. If Chad Brinker and the Chad Brinker cronies are in charge and things don't go right next year, this fan base might storm the Bastille. And so what do you do in order? You can't run Daniel Jones out there and tell the fans, just trust us. So I'm thinking that they'll probably look at it and say, you know, Aaron, he's a year removed from the Achilles, and he's got a rejuvenated, you know, sense of interest. And Aaron's promised he's going to behave, and we need a quarterback. And I think that some Titan fans can get on board with Aaron, you know, as opposed to Daniel Jones, who is probably the definition of poo-poo Johnson if they were to sign. So I have to say, I think it is right now, if I was a betting man, I'd say Aaron Rodgers could be the quarterback of the Titans because there's probably no better quarterback out there for the Titans, and there's probably nowhere else that wants Aaron.
So you'd rather have a second-tier receiver than the greatest cornerback of all time?
Are you calling A.J. Brown a second-tier receiver?
Well, that's what
Travis Hunter profiles as a number one wide receiver in the NFL. But again, there's a difference between a number one wide receiver and Justin Jefferson, right, who looks like Jerry Rice out there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you say, top three in the NFL, receiver or corner, I'll take receiver. I'm with you on that. Like, I'll slot that position ahead of corner. But your dismissal of the importance of cornerbacks in the NFL, like touch grass, dude. Ask Trevor Maddich, ask TD, ask anybody you respect their opinion on football. And they're going to, like, dude, what do you – yes, I would also rather have an edge rusher, but my God, it's important to have good corners. And you're going to compare it to these corners. Well, one of them didn't play all year. Actually, two of them didn't play all year. And they had a fifth-round pick who was one of the best things about their defense. Like, if you have a great corner who can man up with anyone, who can basically take away a half of the field like a Woodson did, like a Deion did, you know how powerful that is? That helps your pass rushers. I mean, they work in tandem.
You mean like Sauce Gardner and the Jets?
I mean, Sauce Gardner is really good, but I think that Travis Hunter, I mean, I'm talking better than that. I mean, I watched Stingley last week, and Stingley, like Justin Herbert, was shocked a couple times at a couple of his passes that otherwise those are completions. It's like, oh my God, where did that guy come from? That is a huge asset in the NFL.
I will say this though. What does Justin Herbert not have?
Number one wide receiver.
Let's put Travis Hunter on the field with Justin Herbert and see what happens.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think the value of a number one wide receiver is astronomical in the NFL.
If they're equal, listen, I'm not, again, if they're equal in, like, relative to their peers, equal in greatness, but if I'm right, and I may
Who would you rather have right now on your team, Patrick Surtain II or A.J. Brown?
I'd rather have A.J. Brown. I have my doubts that Hunter is that level of receiver. Again, I may be wrong. I think he could be a really good receiver in the NFL. I think he could be an all-time cornerback. And if it's that, then to me, that's what you do. But again
Vrabel talked about this all the time when he was coach. Vrabel talked about this all the time when he was coach. And he basically said, if you don't sack the quarterback and turn him over, the way the rules are built today, you're not going to be able to stop a team on offense. That's why I think the value of corner is not the same that it used to be. Like, I don't think you can be the type of impactful corner that Deion Sanders was or Champ Bailey was or these guys were anymore, because you can't touch the receivers that way anymore. And so I'm not opposed to the idea of drafting Travis Hunter. His primary position is wide receiver. And then in the fourth quarter and two-minute drill, things like that, like get out there and go play corner, because we're just going to man you up on somebody. And,
if he's that good, then why would – but, again, if he's that good, yeah, just go out there and man up at the most important part of the game. Then he should play corner the whole game. This isn't high school football, Jared.
No, because, again, wide receiver is more important in the NFL than corner. And so Travis Hunter, to me, what I want is I want an impact elite player at wide receiver before I want even the best corner in the league. And I think that Travis Hunter, you don't think he's going to be an impact elite wide receiver. And I do. That seems to be the difference here.
That is, except that I'd rather have this in the best corner in the league is a terrible take.
615-737-1025.
You just said you'd rather have AJ than Patrick Surtain.
Sure, we call it out.
Jared, you just said you'd rather have AJ Brown than Patrick Surtain.
Right.
Patrick Surtain is probably the best corner in the league. Him, Sauce Gardner, and Stingley. Those are probably the three best corners in the league, right?
Yeah, it's very close. Yeah, but again, we get into it.
So where does AJ rank in terms of receivers in the NFL?
I don't know, but again, the point being, if I'm right that Travis Hunter is, like, he's going to be the best corner, and we're not going to say he's one of these three guys or four guys, he's the guy. That is more valuable than, and I do, well, again, then he gets it. I don't think he's going to be the level of A.J. Brown, but we'll see.
Number one book reader in the NFL. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Shout out to A.J. Jared, great stuff. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock. Have a good weekend.
Robbie, what do you believe about Travis Hunter as a receiver?
I think he's going to be pretty darn good.
Thank you. See you guys.
See you, Jared. We'll take your thoughts.
I guess that's Jared's way of thinking he's right.
On what Jared had to say, I do want to expand on this Travis Hunter conversation coming up next. TD, who we'll talk to at 8 o'clock with an interesting take on Travis Hunter yesterday on Stillman & Company. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. And Joe, speaking of TD, he was on the TD Power Hour yesterday with Stillman. And as they do, they talked about pretty much everything there is to talk about with the Tennessee Titans. Always love TD on Jared's show on Thursdays. Travis Hunter came up, and you know, Jared threw out his take that he would go with Rodgers as the quarterback, and he would draft Travis Hunter first overall and have Travis Hunter play wide receiver. TD's response to that was basically like, Travis Hunter, his position for TD would just be playmaker. Like, he's playmaker. And you know, he'd line him up in the backfield on occasion. He'd play at wide receiver. And TD also said, like, as far as a corner, that he's not overly impressed, was the way that he put it, with Travis Hunter as a corner. And he didn't say he was like a bad corner. He just said he's not overly impressed with Travis Hunter, specifically at the cornerback position. Joe, you are overly impressed with Travis Hunter at the cornerback position. What'd you make of that take from TD, who we will talk to in just over 30 minutes?
No, that's very interesting. And look, straight up, TD grinds on the film of these guys. I totally respect TD's, you know, football opinions. So that's, first of all, that's very surprising to me. I mean, it definitely differs from some draft folks out there. I've heard both opinions. Look, my evaluation is based on watching Colorado this year. I did watch quite a bit of them. I mean, I've watched a fair amount of him the last 2 years, and it's just his recovery speed on some of those plays. It's just phenomenal, and his overall speed. So get the ball in his hands. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can use that speed. I just think he has a different level of speed, but also a change of direction. So I know that there are some underlying numbers, you know, with him at corner this year that aren't spectacular. Man, I just, just watching games and watching him play when they have him in man, or even just his instincts on some of the picks he had or PBUs he had in zone, man, I thought he was incredible. So, that's a very interesting take from TD. I'm interested to talk more about him with that at the top of the hour. If that's true, if that's how the Titans viewed him, that's basically what his draft identity will be, then I think maybe receiver is better. Is he great as a receiver? Again, maybe I'm wrong on that too. I've seen nothing with him at receiver that was like bad. I mean, it's all good, you know. I guess it's just like, you know, I guess I'd have to see more there, and maybe I missed some stuff where he just, to me, like, doesn't compare to some of the, like, he doesn't, like, again, I'm watching college football this year. I would take Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith over Travis Hunter if we're just talking about wide receivers, and they're both freshmen in college football. Now, I know they're both absolutely insane freshmen, but that comes to mind. You know, I think those two guys are both absolutely going to be better than him as receivers in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I also think both those guys have a chance to be at the top of the league when they get in there too. Like, I think both those guys have a chance. Look, I think Travis Hunter, if Travis Hunter was purely a receiver, I think he would be a really, really good receiver in the NFL. I do. Like, I think he would be. I mean, look, you know, not all Biletnikoff awards are equal. Like, Jalin Hyatt won the Biletnikoff, and he's not going to be a good, really good NFL wide receiver. So, I think when you look at his size, like, he's not going to be the outside guy that, like, a Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase you could put anywhere. Justin Jefferson you could put anywhere. But I don't think he's going to be that. But I do think what you brought up with him, the speed, the instincts with the ball in his hand, like, he really intrigues me in the NFL as somebody that you can throw the ball to and get the ball in his hands and make plays for you and score points. Like, I think he really would help the Titans on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I've watched him play a lot. I'm not an expert at evaluating the cornerback position, so I think he's a really good corner at the college level. How's that going to translate to the NFL? We'll see. But I am more intrigued with him on the offensive side of the ball, and that's probably just because we've been so starved for offense around here that any help they could get on the offensive side of the ball, I'll take.
Yeah, I get it. Noah on the text line, driven by Wilson, countyhoney.com, says, how can we speak intelligently on the potential of Hunter at either corner or receiver when he split his time between the two? He wasn't able to focus on one, so we really don't know what his ceiling looks like. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He played both at such a high level while playing every snap. That's just, I mean, that's part of why he's possibly the number one pick, or he's right. Certainly going to be top three or four, right? But, I mean, if you play every snap, that does mean you play both positions fully, right? So whatever you the argument could be, whatever you think of him at either of them, take away the other half the game. How much better is he? I don't know. But, you know, durability, availability, those things are as we know, as big as anything in the NFL. So I think that's another reason to really like him as a pick.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Dave to the program. Dave, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I had something TD said yesterday, and it's nothing new to all of us, but it was he sort of insinuated he knew something. That he just said that Callahan is, it would be really a big deal if he made it through next year. It's like, he kind of insinuated it's going to be a tough road to even keep his job at this point. So I was a real surprised. Not, I think we all know that, that it's a lot of pressure with a new organization, but it really, TD acted like he really thought that it was it would be tough. Thanks.
Yep, thanks for calling. Well, I think it is going to be tough. I think it's going to be, well, look, first off, the track record lately of people keeping jobs around here is not very good, Joe, so there's that to look at. You're coming off a 3-14 season. And I think a big part of this, and Travis Hunter factors into this too, like how much better can you get in one off season? Like, let's say they went the Rodgers-Hunter route, and you ended up with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You still have Calvin Ridley. And let's say they did want to use Travis Hunter at wide receiver. Like, how much better is that team than the one that just exited the field mercifully for the last time this year?
I don't know. It's a great question. You know, he's going to have to be incredible, you know, for it to, like, really move the needle, you know? Mr. G says, yeah, I'd rather have Amon-Ra than Pat Surtain. I just don't think Travis Hunter will be as good a receiver as Amon-Ra. And I do think he'd be as good a corner as Surtain. That's my point, you know. That's what I think too. But again, TD's giving me doubts now.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on Travis Hunter. A lot more of your thoughts to get to. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here in about 10 minutes here on the program. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans and Travis Hunter with him. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. The Hunter part of this is really intriguing because, you know, TD, there was a caller on the TD Power Hour that brought this up yesterday too, which is interesting to think about. Like, we all know how much Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams love each other. So, like, what if you got in one offseason Travis Hunter with a number one overall pick? You already have Calvin Ridley, and Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and he convinced Davante Adams to come. Like, that seems like a pipe dream, but it does. Like, that would be a heck of a transformation for this offense in one offseason, Joe, to have that come to pass. I wouldn't say it's like totally impossible, but that's a lot of dominoes to fall in one direction.
Man, just imagine, even if they're not winning a lot, just losing but scoring points.
Hey?
Making fun football plays for people to watch. Wouldn't that be a change?
It would. It would be a change. Like, Travis Hunter, I think you would agree, primarily in the slot in the NFL. And you can change the game from the slot, right? Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the perfect example of that. Like, he is, no doubt about it, number one wide receiver for Detroit. And when you start to, you know, go through the top wide receivers in the league, you don't have to get down the list very far before he comes up. You know, can Travis Hunter be that in the NFL? I don't know. Like, that's a pretty high bar. But I do think the athleticism that he brings to the table and his ability to, with the ball in his hands, just make play after play, I feel really good about him being a really darn good receiver in the league. I guess the question then becomes, like, what if he is a really good receiver and he is an elite cornerback? Like, how do you use him if you're the Titans? Because I think even if you feel like his best position is corner, he's too talented to just not use it all on the offensive side of the ball. I the more I think about it, the less I can envision a scenario where if you're the Titans or anybody else, you're drafting him and you're not at least trying to use him on both sides of the ball in some capacity.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, obviously, that increases his value. And if he's that dominant as an athlete, even in this league, which I think is possible, then, yeah, it just seems to me it just makes more sense. Maybe just because we haven't seen it the other way, but it makes more sense to be a full-time defender and then returns, jet sweeps, reverses, yeah, a package of plays on offense where you're downfield catching passes as opposed to full-time receiver and, you know, like Jared, you know, throw him at the end of the game. You know, I just, like, if he's that good, I mean, hey, who knows, man? Maybe he'll be Jim Thorpe and he'll just play every snap in the NFL too. You know, I don't know. And that'd be, if that's the case and he's that good and he's that effective on both sides of the ball, then he sure as heck is worth the number one
then
pick.
You need to draft him.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. So, and yeah, with the slot receiver, yeah, if you want to make that comparison, I mean, think about Amon-Ra. One, he never drops the ball, but also he's almost like a running back at receiver, you know? And he obviously has all the, he's great at getting open, things like that. But, like, he always falls forward. He's physically takes all this punishment in the middle of the field. Slot receivers, they're going to get hit by linebackers and safeties a lot.
Yep.
And those guys hit harder than corners, you know? And so and he just is just he's incredible. He's a beast. I don't look at Hunter the same way, but of course, you can be a great player and line up inside, and even great outside receivers get put inside a ton to challenge defenses, try to find matchups and all that stuff. I don't have an issue with that. It's fascinating, you know, to think about, first of all, the evaluation as time goes on and everybody goes through all of it with him and how he's viewed. And I'm just interested to know if, like, are there going to be teams that see it completely different from other teams?
Yeah.
You know, this team is like, oh, he's a corner and that's it. And this team's like, he's a receiver and that's it. And how many teams actually would entertain, he's so good and he proved his durability in college that we're actually going to try that in the NFL. It seems like you're begging for injury if you do, but maybe someone would.
Well, how much different is it? You know, the conditioning part of it, I'm not really worried about, because the conditioning part of it, I think he proved that he can handle it. But I do think, like, wear and tear, the physicality of this league is just different than it is in college football. So how prepared is he to be able to play significant snaps on both sides of the ball? And are there some NFL teams that just, that's a non-starter for them? Like, they say, you know what, we're not even gonna mess with that. Like, we view him as a really good cornerback, or we view him as a really good receiver. Like, we've talked about it. He wants to play both sides of the ball. Of course he does. How many teams think that that's plausible? And how many teams want to explore that based on what you said, which I do think you have to worry about to some degree. Like, are you asking yourself for injury at that point if you're allowing him to do that?
Yeah, like, you play the Ravens and, you know, you have the ball, so you go over the middle and then Patrick Queen, you know, smashes you, and then you come right back on the field and here comes that Derrick Henry stiff arm. So good luck with that, Travis. Or, you know, how about the combo of, like, Fred Warner taking a shot at you and then try to tackle Debo? I mean, it's just, man, that's where, yeah, I'm with you. Conditioning, I don't have an, it's
Patrick
incredible.
Patrick plays for the Steelers, by the way, so there's that.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. He's a Steeler now. I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry for you, Patrick. It's too bad you're not still on the Ravens. You'd be feeling a lot better about things.
That is true.
But you get my point.
I do. I do. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Travis Hunter conversation with him as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Post-game show is brought to you by Christ, I Can't Find It. The hell with it.
Hello, Tribe fans. Welcome back to Major League Baseball. Sort of. Paid attendance today is 1,412. Some of them were driven away by that little 10-run first inning the Red Sox put up. Take over, Monty. I'm in the bag.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. RIP Bob Uecker. Lost a legend yesterday, Joe. The floor is yours.
Yeah, start with that. Rest in peace, Bob Uecker. Absolute freaking legend. And I celebrate the whole thing. I think most people would know him best from Major League, which, you know, you can't. That movie is hilarious on a million fronts, but it's nothing, you know, without him. But, I mean, hey, man, I was a Mr. Belvedere watcher, okay? Yeah. I mean, his Miller Lite commercials were fantastic and just an absolute legend.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason.
and 90 years old, man. Good for Bob. Rest in peace. There's no transition from that to what I'm going to talk about, but I am here in Florida celebrating my grandmother's 97th. And I just want to talk about my Aunt Mary a little bit. I've talked about my Aunt Mary some, right?
You have.
For people who don't know, my Aunt Mary is the youngest of four of my grandma's kids. My mom is number two, Aunt Mary number four, and she was 12 when I was born. So I was like the, you know, she Aunt Mary was kind of the, well, you know, the late arriver to the family. Okay. And so I was like her little, you know, her like little show and tell, bring her to school type thing. You know what I'm saying? So Aunt Mary, love her very much. She is a trader. She moved to Denver and her and her husband had a restaurant out there and they got season tickets the very first day the Quebec Nordiques and Patty Roy moved to Denver. So she abandoned the Red Wings.
Nice.
And yes, last night I was forced to sit there and watch Oilers as I wake up this morning to my delight to find that the Avs blew that 3-0 lead and lost 4-3 to the Oilers. I cannot wait to talk trash today.
They did.
But here's what I want to ask on Aunt Mary. I was probably 16, 17, so she's what, 28, and she's like, "Hey, you can have a beer. You can have a beer." Okay? Which is cool. And it's sort of like about like that with Aunt Mary. She's like the most incredible cook in the world too, by the way. I'm 52 and she's 64. You can't keep making me drink beers, Aunt Mary, okay? Especially IPAs. Like last night we get here, like, here, have a beer. You want an IPA? Have a beer. Aunt Mary, dude, come on. Like this was awesome when I was a kid and you were like the cool adult, you know, who would let me do stuff that my parents wouldn't let me do. But like, you got to stop. I can't. I don't like IPAs. They don't like me at all. And I just
gout enters the equation.
Yeah, maybe I should. Yeah, maybe I should walk around with like just put like I have gout just as a reminder to her. And she's like, here's some heavy beers and how about some nice red meat here? Maybe some rich chocolate cake. But like at what age would the pusher and the pushy be like too old for that to happen anymore? Like when she, I probably won't be around, but when she's like 94 and I'm 82, is it still gonna be like, get over here, you wimp, and have some of this mead?
Well, I think, you know, that's when you lean into it even more. I think right now is probably the sweet spot to stop. But when you get to that point, right, I think you just re-engage all over again.
That's a good point. If I get to 82, I'm just going to crawl into a bottle of mead. But I love you, Aunt Mary. It just black last licorice. Night, I'm like, dude, yeah, exactly. Eat the whole packet of black licorice and just die on the spot. Even though Aunt Mary's a traitor when it comes to hockey, I love her very much. But yeah, like last night, I'm like, is this ever going to stop? I'm 52. When is this going to stop? I just want to have like a little bit of warm milk and go to bed. I have a show in the morning.
So let me ask you this. Are you not allowed to say no to the beer? Like, are you allowing yourself to be peer pressured? Or is this like, oh, yeah, please don't offer me another beer. I would hate to accept that.
Well, so I mean, of course, initially you're not going to be like, no, right? I mean, I did kind of, I mean, I believe me, I have been like, Mary, okay, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. We're good. But I will say, as much as I am now totally anti-IPA, like it's a bad scene. These were orange IPAs from a Three Daughters Brewery, if anybody's familiar with breweries down here. And, you know, she and like Michael Bell, they like, you know, get into that stuff. You know, and it was very good. I will say it was kind of refreshing. It strangely did taste like orange, but it wasn't like gross fruity.
You know, now we're getting to the bottom of it. You enjoyed every minute of it.
So I did. So I liked it. But also, you know, it's like I can't do that stuff anymore. So so yeah, I got a long weekend ahead, buddy. So just pray for me.
Do we have a gigantic Rex Road Detroit Lions viewing party scheduled? And is little Joey Rex Road coming out this weekend as they begin their march towards the Super Bowl?
There is a huge party. It's my grandma's 97th, because that was always going to be Saturday, and of course the game is Saturday, so it then leads into the whole family gathering for the Lions. Like I said earlier, my Uncle Bill, the oldest of the four, got her a Hutchinson jersey, which is 97, which is pretty sweet, I must say. So, yes, but little Joey Rex Road will not be wearing any Lions gear. I do have Katie got me a Detroit Bad Boys T-shirt for Christmas.
Okay.
So I will wear that, because that's a team that I can, you know, never abandoned. I can't, you know, I just have to be happy for these people. And I'm going to be there to comfort them. And maybe I need a few IPAs to comfort them when they lose to the Commanders. And they are reminded once again that the Lions are going to break your heart in the end.
A mighty team that will not yield.
So if they punch their ticket to the Super Bowl here in a couple weeks, you're gonna allow yourself to believe then? You're gonna allow yourself to re-embrace your childhood?
They could be up 31-3 with a minute left in the Super Bowl, and I would still be certain they'd find a way to lose.
I don't think I believe you. I think you're gonna be all in again here in a couple weeks.
We'll see. We'll see. More IPAs, more likely.
We'll have Teron Davenport with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans. We'll get into the Travis Hunter discussion with him as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.